Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from FMC Ice Sports and BBC Music Magazine. Question number one, which of the following is not true about the month of May? Is it A, May is Skin Cancer Awareness Month? Is it B, George Clooney, Tina Fey, and Brooke Shields were all born in May? Is it C, May is Zombie Awareness Month? Or is it D, May was first named for the Roman goddess of spring and growth? Is it E, all the above are in fact true about the month of May? Or finally, could it be F, none of the above is actually true about the month of May? So, finally, the truth about the month of May. Which one is it, anyway? And question number two, what is the length of the biggest baton ever used in concert performance? Was it A, 2.5 feet long? Was it B, 5 foot long? Was it C, just under 14 feet long? Or was it D, over 20 feet long? The biggest baton ever used. What was its length anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of May 23rd. Well, it was on this very day back in 1940 that the song I'll Never Smile Again was recorded by Frank Sinatra and Tommy Dorsey and the Pied Pipers. And 20 years after that recording, on this very day, the Everly Brothers recorded their hit song Kathy's Clown. And that was 1960 today. Finally, it was 39 years ago today, 1986, that an estimated 7 million Americans took part in Hands Across America to raise money for the hungry and homeless. Today, back in 1986. Ravel's Bolero introduces our classical music news. It's titled, This Cat Reacts to Music in Her Own Very Particular Way. Take One Black Cat, add Mahler's hyper-emotional ninth. And this was written in BBC Music Magazine on the 15th of March, 2025. How does your cat feel about music? Feline reactions can vary. But one thing is certain, cats are highly sensitive to sound. As nature's ultimate stealth hunters, their keen hearing plays a crucial role in how they experience the world. Research suggests that cats respond most positively to species-specific music, compositions that align with their natural vocal ranges and rhythms. Classical music, particularly slower and softer pieces, has been shown to have a calming effect, helping to reduce stress and anxiety. On the other hand, loud and intense music, whether it's Iron Maiden or Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring, can be more unsettling than soothing. It's difficult to judge exactly what the cat's feeling as she listens to an orchestral climax in Gustav Mahler's stormy, passionate Ninth Symphony. It's safe to say, though, that boredom and indifference are not among the emotions. Cats in music, perfect partners. Cats in classical music make a surprisingly good pair. In fact, our editor, Charlotte Smith, captured a memorable moment last year when a cat casually wandered on stage during a Beethoven concert. And it turns out that many great composers shared a deep affection for felines. Perhaps the most famous cat lover among them was Maurice Ravel, the mastermind behind Bolero, the song playing in the background now, who owned several Siamese cats. He adored them so much that he spoke to them in a special, affectionate manner. Some even speculate that Ravel's love for cats influenced the delicate textures of his music. Igor Stravinsky also had a soft spot for cats, often posing with them in photographs. The eccentric Erik Satie, known for his love of all creatures, was particularly fond of felines. Alban Berg, another devoted cat enthusiast, frequently mentioned his pets in his letters and was often photographed with them. Rossini's love for cats even inspired music, though he may not have written it himself. Duetto, Buffo, Di Du Gatti, comic duet for two cats, is a playful piece based on his melodies and is undoubtedly one of classical music's most deliciously odd works. Meanwhile, Claude Debussy, who had a cat named Minou, was known for his affection for animals, and his music often carries a graceful feline elegance. Leonard Bernstein's Somewhere from West Side Story introduces our jazz and blues music news. It's titled The Many Faces of Lenny. This is written by Duncan Christie, WCPE's Quarter Notes magazine, Spring 2025. Look up Leonard Bernstein on Wikipedia and you will find an array of identities. Conductor, composer, pianist, educator, humanitarian. An impressive array, certainly, and knit together into one turbulent whole by his mastery and presentation of music. It is, of course, as two of these that he is best known and will be most remembered, conductor and composer. The conductor of such as definitive interpretations of Beethoven and Mahler, and the conductor of such grave meditations as Kaddish, such lithe frolics on the town, such romantic heartbreaks as West Side Story. There was a tension between them, says his daughter Jamie, herself a musician, concert narrator, and executive of the Leonard Bernstein Foundation. One was the really gregarious one she describes of her always flamboyant father, who loved being surrounded by people, being on the stage and being in front of audiences and being in front of the orchestra and sharing enthusiasms with students and all that good stuff. The other person was a creative artist who has to work all alone, she continues, and he hated being alone. And he felt compelled to compose, and so spent his entire life trying to thread the needle between the parts of his personality. And it stripped his gears to mix metaphors constantly, but he couldn't live without the performance part, but he could not do the creative part. She is devoted to her father's legacy and the author of a fine, frank memoir called Famous Father Girl. To preserve that legacy, she refers to a dog and pony show about my dad that I take around to music schools, to school young musicians on why they should care about Leonard Bernstein, and why he is the granddaddy of what we now call citizen artists. Several spring immediately to mind, ranging from his opposition to the Vietnam War, to the quest for civil rights, to highlighting the scourge of AIDS. Instead of the ivory tower, she explains, young musicians are instead encouraged to go out into the community immediately with their art and spirit and go to schools and hospitals and retirement homes and anywhere they can use their music to connect people and to raise people up and to provide comfort, healing, and joy and the million things that music does. Pink Floyd's Breathe in the Air introduces our music research and technology. It's titled Pink Floyd's Classic Album Brings the Band to a Milestone It's Only Seen Once Before. This is written by Hugh McIntyre in Forbes.com, May 20th, 2025. Pink Floyd scored a new number one on the official rock and metal albums chart in the United Kingdom just last week. The group's Live at Pompeii, MCMLXXII, debuted atop the list, adding to its already impressive run of best-selling titles in the genre. While that live recording begins to descend, the band has another reason to celebrate on the same ranking, this frame, as an older collection reaches a landmark figure, one that Pink Floyd has only achieved once before. Wish You Were Here celebrates its 550 frame on the official rock and metal albums chart this week. The only other release to do so is The Dark Side of the Moon, which not only reached that figure, but long ago passed it. That bestseller still stands as the group's longest charting success. And in these related articles, Steve Knapper, in a May 2025 article published in Billboard.com titled How Pink Floyd at Pompeii Found New Brilliant Life as an IMAX Film, notes that first-cut negatives found in a London storage facility served as the basis of a new version of the celebrated concert film that offers a rare document of the band pre-superstardom. and an April 24, 2025 article titled Pompeii, MCMLXXII, that's 1972, by the way, hits IMAX screens tonight for a mesmerizing visual and aural experience, published in FortWorthReporter.org by Joe Pryor. The definitive version of Pink Floyd's 1972 concert film, directed by Adrian Maybain, premieres in cinemas and IMAX screens tonight. Remastered in 4K from original 35mm footage with enhanced audio newly mixed, Pink Floyd at Pompeii, MCMLXXII, is a mesmerizing visual and aural experience. Shot over 6 days at one of the oldest surviving Roman amphitheaters in Italy, the hybrid documentary concert film combines the band's live performance with candid footage that includes a behind-the-scenes look at the making of their eighth studio album, The Dark Side of the Moon. On Echoes Part 1, the film's opening track from the 1971 album, Metal, keyboardist Richard Wright and guitarist David Gilmour share vocal duties, while Maybain zooms in for vivid close-ups interspersed with images of bubbling volcanic mud and Roman architecture. As Gilmour's wailing Fender Stratocaster delivers Floyd's iconic sound, the director employs pip techniques and quick edits to highlight each band member. Nick Mason on drums and Roger Waters on bass provide the driving rhythm on this 23-minute track, which should be experienced in IMAX at full volume. There are several scenes featuring the band during rehearsals at the legendary Abbey Road studio, leading to candid conversation. As Waters experiments with synthesizers, as if he's giving John Carpenter ideas for a score, Gilmour discusses the need to control the equipment, not the other way around, adding, "It's all extensions of what's coming out of our heads," referring to the music they create utilizing the latest electronic equipment at their disposal. Hanging on in quiet desperation is the English way. The time is gone, the song is over. Thought I'd something more to say.
Children play, smiling faces I can see, but not for me. I sit and watch as tears go by.
The Rolling Stones, as Tears Go By, introduces our rock and pop music news. It's a new book offer from Smithsonian Magazine. Smithsonian Rock and Roll, Live and Unseen. 7 decades of music history featuring 142 artists as never seen before. Smithsonian Books, Bill Bentley. It's a collector's edition on sale now. It covers such artists as Elvis Presley, Chuck Berry, The Beatles, The Rolling Stones, Aretha Franklin, The Who, U2, Jimi Hendrix, James Taylor, Elton John, Prince, Adele, Bruce Springsteen, Madonna, and others. The joy and devotion contained in the photos is as infectious as the music itself, the Los Angeles Times writes. 216 pages of rare photographs taken both on stage and behind the scenes by fans and music industry insiders. Trailblazing artists who invented and continue to reinvent rock and roll.
It is the evening of the day.
Handel's Water Music introduces our local music news. Spring Highlights, Shall We Dance? This is published in WCPE's Quarter Notes, April-May 2025 issue. Coming up on May 26th on the local classical musical station, WCPE is a program dedicated to the music of George Frederick Handel. As noted by WCPE, it is the mission of this station to present the full range of a composer's work, not just the inveterate favorites. Yes, we will always welcome Handel's Messiah, always welcome his water music, the song playing in the background, by the way. But there is so much more to choose from in Handel's canon, and one of them is the Terpsichore Ballet. Listening to it, one can visualize the drawing rooms of the early 18th century, where sumptuously dressed and wigged lords and ladies gathered to be entertained. This is stately music itself, a consummation of style. So tune in this coming Memorial Day, Monday, May 26th at 8 a.m., to the local classical station 89.7 on your FM radio dial to hear this Handel composition. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which of the following is not true about the month of May? Is it A, May is Skin Cancer Awareness Month, B, George Clooney, Tina Fey, and Brooke Shields were all born in May, C, May is Zombie Awareness Month, D, May was first name for the Roman goddess of spring and growth, E, all of the above are in fact true about the month of May, or E, none of the above is actually true about the month of May. Correct answer? Answer E, all of the above are in fact true about the month of May. As noted in a 2013 article titled, What Are Some Important Facts About the Month of May?, published in FMC Ice Sports, the fifth month of the year, May, is Skin Cancer Awareness Month, Zombie Awareness Month, and National Military Awareness Month. George Clooney, Tina Fey, and Brooke Shields were all born in May. May was first named for the Roman goddess Maia. In Roman mythology, Maia was a goddess associated with spring, growth, and fertility. She is often seen as the personification of the month of May, which is named in her honor. Maia was also linked to the Roman goddess Bonadia, the good goddess, who is associated with feminine matters and fertility. The Roman good goddess Bonadia is associated with women, virginity, fertility, and healing. She was worshipped mostly by women and slaves, particularly during her ceremonies on December 4 each year, at which only women were allowed to be present. May officially became the fifth month of the year in 153 BCE. Prior to this, May was the third month in the Roman calendar, which started in March. The change occurred when the Roman Senate shifted the beginning of the civil year to January 1. And the answer to our second question, what is the length of the biggest baton ever used in performance? Was it A, 2.5 feet long, B, 5 foot long, C, just under 14 feet long, or D, over 20 feet long? Correct answer? Answer C, just under 14 feet long. As noted by Jeremy Pound in an April 11, 2025 article in BBC Music Magazine titled "The Conductor with the 4-Meter Baton and More Unbelievable Records." Coming in at number 11 on that list is the grandest piano. One wonders what Rachmaninoff, whose hand span could comfortably stretch a perfect 12th from C to G, would have made of the gargantuan piano built by Daniel Chopevsky, the largest ever to have been played in public. First unveiled in December 2010, the Polish architect, a masterful creation, is about 20 feet in length, over 8 feet wide, and over 6 feet high. And for those bored of the conventional 88 notes, it has 156 keys to play around with. And at number 12, the biggest baton. Conducting an instrument of that grandest piano magnitude would doubtless require a baton of similar size. Ideal for the task, then, would be the one used to keep the players of a Netherlands ensemble in strict tempo on October 30, 2010, which measured a spectacular 13 feet 11 inches, charged with waving, or more likely, heaving, the mighty wand that day and instantly beating his way into the record list was Dutch maestro Bas Klaverus. We close today's program with Kathy's Clown, released today back in 1960 by the Everly Brothers. Your love. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Content of this program intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information, call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.